The Performance Training Academy podcast series with today's guest, Louise Prattley. In episode number 14, we're talking about how people can become more motivated, more inspired, and more empowered, especially in this current climate that we find ourselves in. We're going to give you actions that you can implement straight away by discussing daily habits to make you more successful, whether that's in your mindset, your lifestyle, or your business. We will also be giving insight into our upcoming collaboration, our business and marketing course for fitness professionals. We hope you enjoy. Okay, so welcome back to our Performance Training Academy podcast series. And we're back with Louise Prattley, one of our co-collaborators on our courses. She's got a wealth of knowledge, a load of inspiration to give, and that's one of the reasons why we've got her back on today. How are you doing today, Louise? You all right?
Yeah, very well. Very well. Coping in lockdown, so doing fine. So nice to chat to you again.
Well, this is it, isn't it? And this one kind of follows on from our last podcast that we did at some point last year. I think it was in lockdown one, maybe, where we did Leveling Up, which was all about inspiring and empowering people and how to be productive with their businesses and being motivated with their businesses. So we've kept in touch, obviously, all through last year, and we've done some courses together, which we'll touch about in this podcast. And we've been talking about this podcast that we're going to do today for a few weeks now. And today's podcast really is about how to continue that productivity and how to be inspired in what feels a bit like a flat time at the moment, because we are in another lockdown. We're in lockdown 3 in the UK. It's January 2021 as we speak. But the good thing is there's light at the end of the tunnel. And that's why we thought that it's quite timely with what we're going to talk about today. And hopefully those who listen will get a lot from it. So just a quick synopsis about what we're going to cover today. We're going to be talking about how the health and fitness industry is a great industry to be in at the moment, even though it may not feel like it is because things are shut down. We're going to talk about daily habits and things that you can do yourself to make yourself more productive, more motivated day to day. We'll talk a bit about planning, and we're going to talk about negative and positive mindset as well. So this is a great one to chat to you about, Louise. Every time we chat, whether it's in person, on the phone, or via a Zoom, I always feel empowered after speaking to you. You're a very inspirational person. So let's get on with this. You've been a little bit fairly affected by these lockdowns, but you've been continuing to work, which, you know, not everyone is shut down doing nothing. A lot of people are busy or busier than ever. And you're one of these individuals who are continuing to work with your clinics, aren't you?
Yeah, so for those who don't know, in case they didn't tune into the first podcast, so I'm currently working as an osteopath, and that's within our different osteo and physio clinics within the Southwest. So I've been very fortunate since the first lockdown to continue to treat people. So although we've had this massive change from wearing no PPE and, you know, being able to see people when you do new consultations, you know, chat to your patients, we've now gone full PPE of masks, visors, aprons, gloves, you know, cleaning everything within an inch of its life. So that's the only thing for me, in a sense, that's changed massively. It's just being really hyper aware that, you know, you've got to be really clear on the safety of the patients that are coming in, you know, your own safety, plus being able to kind of care for people still. So for me, it was a massive shift of mindset. There was a lot of responsibility. And one of the things that I found really humbling, but also really incredible in terms of being part of that health and wellness sector and being able to treat people, is actually a lot of people depended on us, which was just lovely, in the sense that, you know, the GPs weren't seeing anybody. People couldn't really go and do kind of normal stuff that they'd want to do day to day. They were being stuck at home. And so our role was kind of getting people out of pain, but also for some people coming in, yes, they needed their bodies looked at, but a lot of people, we were the only people they were seeing. And that was a really bizarre situation where they'd be going, you know, 3 or 4 weeks not seeing anybody and coming and seeing us, and we would be the first people. And I think for me, it made me realize, yes, how much I love my job, but also how much people need that kind of human contact as well.
Yeah, it does. And to relate that to the industry, to the health and fitness industry, because obviously people listening to this are involved in some way with the health and fitness industry. It's the same with clients, isn't it? You know, there's a lot of individuals that are thriving at the minute for this social interaction and personal training, sports massage, all of these things. going to a gym offers that, doesn't it? So it's quite interesting already. You're already touching upon about that whole social need that we're all after, isn't it, really?
Yeah,
and it is a massive change because you're very obviously have to be very hands-on with your patients, and doing that behind a visor and everything like that, completely different, isn't it?
There's no 2 meter distancing at all, like at all. So you have to be so careful, and you have to be so hyper aware when you're seeing people. And I think just touching upon that as well, in terms of why I feel like people should still be inspired to be in the health and fitness sector, is the fact that people, particularly now as we're hopefully coming out of lockdown free, you need to look after your mind and body. And a big shift that I saw in the clinics, where a lot more people were going, right, I'm coming in for the first time. Yes, I'm in pain, but it's also because I've put off this problem for so long that I finally feel like now I need to get my body sorted. And I imagine, and obviously Ash, you can correct me if this is different, but I imagine it's very similar with like fitness professionals and personal trainers, is that people might have been, you know, drinking a lot more, eating a lot more, not necessarily moving. You know, we definitely lose that motivation when we're locked inside our houses, that you rely on that fitness professional to get you up and moving, to get you motivated, getting you healthier, so that long term, you know, you're stronger and fitter. And I feel like that's something that I've really seen a difference in.
Definitely. I mean, obviously, you know, and what we're saying here, your main profession, you're an osteopath, but you're also massively involved within the not just the health industry, but the health and fitness industry as well. You know, you do a lot of work within the health and fitness industry, helping others, motivating others as well, teaching as well. You're now a qualified teacher, got qualified for us as well. So
I know. Got
that but yeah, so, you know, you've got a lot to offer. And that's why it's not just a case of, it's not just me speaking as a training provider offering fitness qualifications and you being osteopath. You know, we've got this synergy in what we're trying to deliver, in trying to help people grow themselves and grow their business. And what you talk about in your social media platforms, it's not just about your career as an osteopath. It is about fitness, health and well-being. So for those that don't follow Louise, go and have a check on our platforms, because it is inspiring.
Go see what that mad woman's up to.
It is inspiring, it is empowering. You deliver it really well. I've not just asked you to come in as a, you know, check your ego sort of thing a little bit, but, you know, it's done really well. So that's why, you know, I think you've got a lot to offer. And that's why I love having these conversations with you. So let's talk about, you know, why being in the health and fitness industry is a great thing. Obviously at the minute, I think a lot of people probably feel quite flat, you know, with the health and fitness industry being one of those industries which pretty much has to shut down. And it has been a funny year where it has been stop start, you know, it opened up a little bit, and then we get shut down again, and it's one of those things. And I know a lot of individuals who feel very negative about the whole situation. You know, you don't find, you know, life feels like it's just like you stop start, you're taking a few steps forward and taking about 10 paces back again. But I think that the health and fitness industry, I don't want to dwell too much on the fact that we're in lockdown, because it's not going to be forever. And light at the end of the tunnel is we can all see it with these vaccinations coming through now. And hopefully, you know, this year we're going to start seeing some form of normality. But I really strongly believe that the health and fitness industry is going to thrive once all of this pandemic is kind of not completely gone, but once we get to that point where we can be a little bit more normalized. And the reason why I think it's going to thrive, and I'd like to hear your opinion on this as well, is, and it's something that you've already touched upon as well, there's so many individuals out there at the minute who are probably in a very low ebb. Their mindset is very negative, not just fitness professionals, but general people and individuals. They feel very low, very flat, no motivation. Training at home is great if you're motivated to do it, but can also be a pain in the ass if you lack that motivation, or if you don't have the right kit. You lose that social interaction, not just going to see a personal trainer, but even just going to a gym if you don't have a personal trainer and seeing those around you. So there's so many people, I think, who are feeling very flat at the moment, very demotivated. This is a health pandemic as well. And I think what a lot of people are going to reflect on is, right, I need to lose a bit of weight. I need to get fitter. You know, so I think when we come through this, there's going to be quite a big rush into the health and fitness industry, maybe not straight away, but I think there's going to be a lot of individuals who are going to put their health first. They're going to think, right, I'm so keen on getting back into a gym environment. I'm so keen to work with a fitness professional, like a personal trainer. And they'll have the confidence to do that because, you know, most of the people or most of the population will be vaccinated by this point as well. And we've all got these protocols in place to keep people safe as well. So I honestly believe that the health and fitness industry is going to thrive upon, you know, after all this situation. Is that the same sort of thing that you're feeling as well in people that you're talking to and talking with?
Yeah, and I think for me, I think what we've got to realise is obviously where we've had situations like this where it's been quite uncomfortable, a lot of people have found it really challenging, is that's where we tend to grow and develop. And I've seen a big change in terms of how people are seeing their businesses. So I think one of the things that will come out of this, whether it's a positive or a negative thing, I'm not sure, but I think one of the things that will come out of it is people will have to adapt their business. So they'll have to do it where they are possibly going a little bit more online. They'll have to do stuff where they're doing maybe more virtual consultations or maybe more virtual boot camps, or, you know, hopefully it will go back completely to that in-person kind of professionalism where you're talking to people, where you're running classes and training one-to-one. But I think for me, it's really hard to predict what's going to happen. Touching back on your point of what you said earlier, Ash, about the role of kind of health professionals and fitness professionals, is that whenever I've done seminars and I've done courses for people in the workplace, I think one of the subjects that we look at really importantly is the relationship between the mind and the body and how they impact each other. And so I feel like with health professionals, you don't realize how much knowledge you have and how much influence you have over that idea. So what I mean by that is, if you're getting someone feeling fitter and healthier, yes, from a physical point of view, they're less likely to be injured, less likely to have pain, less likely to have problems. But from that mental point of view, they're going to feel more confident in themselves. They're going to feel less anxious, less depressed. I always talk about different things where, you know, when I'm seeing people who are possibly burnt out or having those elevated stress levels in the workplace, that massively impacts absenteeism, sick leave, productivity. So as a fitness professional, if you can get in there and impact that person's life by getting them fitter, healthier, getting them moving, that will not only affect their mindset, you know, within the working environment, but also outside that working environment. So I think the reason why health professionals will definitely thrive post lockdown and post COVID is the fact that your knowledge and your role in society is to help people with both their mind and their body, you know, looking at both, getting that 360 health, getting someone to realize that their body and their mind are their best assets, you know, teaching them how to look after themselves, teaching them how you can make it unique to each individual circumstances to ensure long-term success. And that for me is why I'm so excited to be in this sector, and why any fitness professionals, whether you're a personal trainer, Pilates, sports masseuse, shouldn't be, you know, too burdened down by what's going on, because as soon as we come out of it, there will be massive opportunities, massive opportunities.
Definitely. And this is why we've collaborated so many times in the past as well. And we'll towards the end of this podcast, we'll talk about what we've developed over the last probably 4, 5, or 6 months together, that, you know, which I think is a really good thing for a lot of individuals, and it can help them with their mindset and their business. But, you know, one of the things we talk about a lot on all of our courses is, within the health and fitness industry, too much emphasis is put on the fitness side of it, losing body fat, getting yourself like, putting the muscle on that you might want to achieve, running an endurance event or something like that. The fitness side of it is always the first focus, but the health side is generally forgotten about quite a lot of the time. It's just like a happy coincidence that you actually get healthier as you get fitter. But the health side is so important, I think more so now than ever, really. And I think putting the emphasis on your health and your well-being is going to be a really, really big thing. I've seen it already with a lot of individuals I've spoken with, and it needs help. You know, a lot of people need that support to make themselves better in terms of the health side of things. And this is what this whole situation is probably showing people, isn't it? Yeah. Let's give people some actions that they can start taking. Obviously, there's a lot of people, I think, who, you know, within this situation over the last year have been busier than ever. So they might, if they've got time to listen to this, they're like, no, I don't need any actions. I'm busy enough as it is. But I know from speaking to not just students and peers, but also speaking to other people who aren't even in the fitness industry. They've got their own businesses and their own families and their own things, just friends that are of mine and colleagues. I think there's a lot of people that could probably do with some actions they can take. And we're going to start with some like daily habits for success. Now, I can relate to this a lot. I've had many days where if I set myself up wrong, I don't have the most productive day in the slightest. And I probably end that day feeling low, feeling demotivated with my business, with my training, with my health, or whatever it may be. If I set my day up right by doing certain things, I feel so much more empowered. I feel so much more positive. And at the end of the day, I feel like I've taken a massive step forward into what I want to achieve towards my goals. And we're going to speak about goal setting in a bit, but let's talk about some daily habits. We've spoken about this a lot on the course that we put together as well. What are some of your daily habits that you make sure that you put into, you implement every single day, which sets you up right?
So for those who know me personally, I'm super, super organized. So I probably go through God knows how many planners in a week. And so what the best thing for me to do is probably have a look at my planner page so I can be really precise for you guys. So I actually have a daily journal or a daily planner that helps me organize. So this is what it is. Anybody watching the video back, I'm showing it up to the screen. So it's basically my daily high performance planner, and it's my absolute baby. And I love it so much that I bought a year's supply just so that I know what I need to do. So what it gets me to do is basically put myself in the mindset of success, or not even success, but put yourself in the mindset of productivity. And I find for me personally, and again, you've got to find the right thing for you, but I find for me personally, if I can write down on a bit of paper, the old-fashioned way, if I can write down my focus of the day, my short and long-term goals, my top three priorities, and then plan out my day, I find I am so much more successful in getting stuff done than if I try and guess in my mind what I need to do. So the first thing I do is I write down a message to myself. And so what I write down is, how do I perceive myself in the day? And again, this might not be for everybody. It's an affirmation. So one of the ones, for example, that I would write down is, I am enough. Okay. So I always start off very positive, like, I am enough. That's all I need to know. And then what I look at is my morning mindset. So what can I get excited about today? You know, what is inspiring me? What can I get excited about? And I know, reflecting back from the first lockdown, I looked back before I did my mind map in January for this year, I looked back at like different things. And so obviously pre-lockdown, it was really exciting, you know, seminars or courses. And then as we got into the first lockdown, it would be stuff like having a hot chocolate, or it would be like going for a walk. So you see, it's all about mindset of your situation. And then I looked at different things that I would write down is, who needs me on my A game? So in terms of business, who do I need to connect with? In terms of family, is there anybody that I need to show appreciation to? I talk about any challenging subjects that I've got during the day, so, or situations. So anything that I know that's coming up that gives me either a bit of anxiety, or I feel like, you know, I'm a bit nervous about this. And then I talk about how I'm going to deal with it. You know, what am I going to do to make that happen and make sure that I'm not so anxious about that situation? What I also do is write down the big projects that I have to keep in mind that are coming in the future. And the reason why I write that down is, yes, your reality and your present situation, you need to think about what you're doing day to day. But if you write goals to what is happening in the future, you get really excited. You know, when I read them back, I think, oh, God, I can't wait to do that. And so, for example, you know, one of my goals is having a multi-million pound franchise. You know, that's some of the things, you know, being an author, online seminars, you know, stuff like that, that gets me really excited. And then I look at during the day, it's like top three things that I need to do right now that bring me closer to my long-term goals, but also stuff that I definitely need to do that if I don't do today, it will set me back massively, or I will just miss a deadline. It will just be absolute chaos. And then what I then do is obviously plan out my time during the day. And then what I do at the end of the day, which I really like in terms of my evening journal, is I always write down stuff that I did well or stuff that I'm really grateful for during the day. So stuff that I thought, you know what, I absolutely smashed that. Let's give myself a little pat on the back, or, you know, stuff that I felt like I could have probably done a bit better. It wasn't my best performance, but this is what I'm going to implement long term so that it doesn't happen again. And yeah, that's kind of what I break down every day. And the thing is, when I first started, it was really hard to do it every day. I would find that I would just be like, oh no, I've forgotten. And then I would go and look back, so I'd miss a couple of days. Mm. Whereas I think because I've done it for so long, it's weird if I don't do it. And that's for habits, for me, is the place where you want to be at. Same with exercise, is you want it that it would be weirder not to do it than to do it. And I feel like that's kind of what I've kind of ingrained in my mind.
100% agree as well. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's like everything. Every habit needs to be implemented ongoingly to make it feel like it's part of your daily schedule.
Yeah.
Daily routine. So I think to touch on that as well, the daily habits, I think it's really important, as you just said, to have that journal. Whichever one you choose to use, whether it's a high performance planner, really, really good, useful way to document everything down. I'm a little bit more old school than that. I just like a blank notebook so I can scribble one down whatever I want. But I think it's really important, I think, to start any day, and now more so than ever, because I know there's a lot of individuals out there who are planning, who are thinking about, right, what do I want to achieve in 2021? It feels like at the minute, am I going to be able to achieve anything? Because it feels like things are locked down, but it will open up again. And I think now's the time definitely to get that habit formed of starting your day, writing down a few things that you need to get done. And you can definitely become overawed. And a few individuals I've worked with and followed on the marketing side of things and the productivity side of things, every one of them, they all stress the importance of having a journal to set yourself out. You're up for your daily routine by having the small jobs that you have to get done. As you rightly said, keeping that bigger picture, always keep the projects you want to get completed, always keep them there in your eye line, whether you're just doing a little bit towards it every now and then, but just making sure you're always looking at it. But I think the important thing as well is not just to start the day by making a few notes, but to reflect on those as well. And to not just at the end of the day, a little bit of reflection, but look back on, you know, where you were last year. I always generally randomly use January as my way to reflect on what I've done on the last year. And I'll be honest, there was many times last year felt a little bit low, felt a little bit like, oh God, how is life going to progress and all this sort of stuff. But actually, when I look back on what I did last year, I mean, it wasn't what I had planned at the start of 2020, but I achieved a lot and a lot of different stuff. And you know, I worked with you on some great projects as well, which we'll talk about shortly. So I think it's really important to reflect and use that as motivation. I've spoken about with you, and I've spoken about with James Buckingham, one of our other collaborators, about like a grateful log. That's a really good daily habit to have as well, to make yourself realize, actually, I'm doing a really good job right now. I'm doing as much as I possibly can with the situation. You know, whether people are, you know, fully focused on their business or doing lots of work because they're busier than ever, or homeschooling, which is a joy in itself, I can tell you. But, you know, all of these things, I'm actually quite grateful for homeschooling, even though it feels like a bit of a negative at times. I know I'm going to look back on this with a fond memory of teaching my kids at home, you know. So reflecting is a really, really important thing to do. And it sets yourself up right for the day. And a few other things that you should be doing if you want to have productive days is think about not just keeping that journal. That's, I think, rule number one. Definitely list in the morning what you need to get done. Work out who you're accountable with. Like if there's other people waiting for that work to happen, you know, make sure you deal with those individuals as well. Don't just go quiet. Reflect, keep a grateful log. All of these sort of things are really good idea to do. And then you've got your exercise and nutrition as well. Now, I'm going to be honest, my exercise has been up and down this past year. I've not found any consistency with it. I've done the bare minimum. I've sometimes done enough every single week. Other weeks, I look back and think I've not done enough. And as you said, Louise, as well, I've gone from being in that position where if I don't train, it feels weird. Now, if I don't train, it's just like a normal day sort of thing, you know. And when I'm having those days when I'm training, I feel really good about it because I know that I didn't do that the day before, for example. So all of these things, I think, reflect all the time. But get exercise into your daily routine as well. It's really hard at the minute, I think, to exercise. You know, with gyms being shut, you might have very limited kit at home. I know some people got nothing at home. Other people got like a whole gym at home. But get at least 30 minutes of exercise and training in your day, even if it's going out for a run or a walk or something like that. I think that's really important to switch the mindset on. I feel so much more productive if I've done a form of exercise than if I've done no exercise. You know, if I do no exercise continuously for a few days, I feel quite low in myself, you know. So exercise is key, and nutrition as well. Eat foods that make you thrive and feel and make you productive. You know, if you're having a very carbohydrate dense day, it's going to make you feel very flat because you're getting these shunts of high blood sugar levels and you're feeling very tired. So again, exercise and nutrition are really important to look at, aren't they, for your daily habits and your daily routine. Anything to add to that, Louise, about daily habits for success?
Oh God, I think we've covered loads. Anything else I would add? I think make it unique to you. So I think going back to what you were saying about the journaling, some people might find it better. And I know my partner Oliver does this. He does it through email where he'll write a list on the side. So he doesn't write anything down. It all has to be on, you know, electronic. It has to be on technology. And I think a lot of people like that. So I think a lot of people do it where they journal either on their phones. So they make notes on their phones or, you know, like I said, lists on emails, whatever it is. I think I would probably say it's quite good. The reason why I prefer writing stuff down is it's really good at reflecting on it later. Yeah. So one of the other things that we can always talk about in another podcast, if you want to, one of the things that I do with a couple of my accountability partners who were also owning their own businesses and doing loads of stuff is we do something called a mind map in January. And that's where you break down elements of your life and then you talk about, you know, all your successes for the year, which are easier to find if you've got a journal and it's all written down. You reflect on what you did well and then you push yourself with your goals regarding to health and fitness, business, career, finances, relationships, you're looking at fun, you know, all of that stuff. And then you kind of tailor it a little bit more for the year as well. And so that's quite good if we're thinking about daily habits for like long-term goal setting. So, you know, this might be something that we touch upon later. If there's interest on this through the podcast, I always find that's quite easy for daily habits. When you set the goals for the year, it's really easy to go, right, okay, what do I need to do to kind of work towards that specific target in each area?
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think goal setting is kind of very much linked to daily habits as well, isn't it? Always keep an eye on the goals, as we've spoken about. I think now's a really good time for a lot of individuals to sit down and do some form of a mind map.
Yeah.
Whether that's a full-on mind map, like I've seen. And again, if they follow you on social media, I think you did a post about your mind mapping as well. I saw it. It was very
It was huge.
But that's good because you want to achieve great things. And that's what, you know, I know a lot of people who wanted to make success of themselves, whether it's their business or to achieve their health goals or their training goals. All of these things could be written down. And just like we teach on our courses, break those goals down as well. Short, medium, long-term goals. It applies to training. It applies to our livelihoods. It applies to our health, doesn't it? You know, and our mindset as well. So another thing I've started doing as well, which has been quite a cool thing for daily habits, is getting in the water. And I see a lot of people talking about cold showers, cold baths, open water swimming and all this sort of stuff. One thing, I don't do this daily, I must stress at this time, but one thing I've really enjoyed doing is getting in the cold sea, not in a wetsuit, not Starkers either. And it's a really good way. This cold water therapy, I'm seeing more and more of it. I think there's Wim Hof method or something like that is to do with. But I think that's a really good thing for stress and anxiety and boosting that immune system as well. So there's so many quirky ways that you can like make your day super motivational for you, super productive. And I think there's a lot of people maybe think quite negative at the minute. And this is another thing we want to discuss about turn that negative mindset into a positive mindset. Journaling can do it. Adding exercise, obviously, into your daily routine can do it. Focusing a little bit about nutrition can help. I know a lot of people are probably drinking a little bit more than that would because it, you know, we can't go out, we can't do stuff. So it's very easy to have a glass or two glasses of wine or maybe more a night. And changing that habit from drinking most nights to just drinking at weekends, that's a really important thing to do sometimes. But, you know, maybe sitting down and thinking, right, what would I like every day to look like for me? And that's where these little journals can really come into play, as can goal setting as well. Don't try to achieve everything all in one go. Do a short term. You know, what do I want to achieve over the next couple of weeks? How do I want my days to look over the next couple of weeks? That's quite an important thing to do. And then, you know, everything kind of snowballs then, doesn't it? Into, you know, as you touched upon earlier, it feels weird now for you if you don't complete that journal and write a few goals for yourself, you know? So goal setting is a really cool thing. And for those listening, try to get into journaling, writing lists, to-do lists, keeping important what that end goal for you, for your training or your business should be. Always have that in mind. And this applying a few daily habits, the exercise, your nutrition, try a bit of cold water therapy. I tried it and I really like it. And if you don't live near the sea, just jump in a cold shower or a bath. Anyway, let's move on. Negative mindset. Again, a lot of people are feeling quite negative. You know, I have sometimes as well. I try to be a positive individual for my business, for my family, for myself. But obviously, it's very easy to not feel positive at the minute because it feels like And I felt this a little bit after lockdown too, when November kind of locked down and we got moving again by December, and then things shut down again in January. We had courses booked, practical workshops booked, and I felt very negative when that first hit. I think turning a negative mindset into a positive mindset is a very important thing to do, but it's not an easy thing to do, is it? But there's a few little tips that we can give people that can make them feel more positive. Negative mindset. Do you ever get negative, Louise? You strike me as someone who's not often very negative.
Do you know what? Of course, you know, of course we all have those days where we do feel a little bit low, where we do feel like we're not necessarily negative, but we're just feeling a bit meh. I think it's probably a good expression to explain kind of people's personalities at the moment. So I think for me, what I try and do to combat it, and I always think if you are having a bad day, sometimes you do it where you just own it. You just think, well, I'm having a bad day. You just kind of dwell in that moment and then it passes. Or you have a look at, okay, is there any common triggers here that are putting me into this negative mindset? And so this is something that I try and look at, and it could either be environment, it could be, you know, using different platforms with social media, it could be the people that you surround yourself with. And so for me, it's always taking almost a step back and going, okay, well, why am I feeling like this? What is happening that I have got influence over? So if I take kind of people first off, there's this element or this idea that you're most influenced by the five people that you spend the most time with. And the reason why for me that's so key is obviously at the moment we're very much stuck with who we're living with, or, you know, maybe living on our own. You know, we have no control over our current situations, but what we can control is who we speak to, who we're influenced by, and what we do. And so when it comes to kind of daily life, obviously you've got different friends and different people that you socialize with. If I'm thinking of getting into that business mindset and I'm thinking of creating or building the business and, you know, coming up with new ideas, there's very select people that I choose to spend my time with. And the reason why is that I've selected people that make me better, make me more productive, and also understand what you're doing. And I find sometimes if we've got this new business idea where there might be quite a lot of personal trainers or sports masseuses that have these amazing new ideas, these innovative ideas that they want to develop, because obviously not being able to do that kind of close contact with people, if we suddenly tell either a specific friend or a family member that doesn't quite understand why you're trying to create a business and what you're doing, we can be squashed down quite quickly. And so that creates a negative mindset. So it's almost finding your tribe, if that makes sense, for people who are very similar minded. So obviously, for example, me talking to you, Ash, you know, different people that I associate with, and you might find that through groups as well. So it might be maybe organizing an accountability call through Zoom, which obviously where we speak to, and I speak to my best mate, Annie, like this, because she's obviously an osteopath and entrepreneur. And we do regular Zoom calls and we check in at regular points during the month to boost that positive mindset and take you out of the current situation that you're in. The other thing that I do is I massively limit how long I'm on social media for. I find for me personally, and there might be a lot of people listening who are very much relating to this, I find if I'm scrolling through social media and there's all these amazing celebs and people that are, you know, either managed to go on holiday or look like they're absolutely smashing lockdown and doing amazing, or, you know, are constantly posting these awesome pictures, you start to look and start to think, oh, my life is rubbish, or I'm not where I want to be, or oh, I'm so gutted that I can't do what that I want to do. And so you suddenly get put into that negative mindset. And then finally, the last thing for me is if I look at the news too much, I don't know why it never used to be an issue, but if I look at the news and everything going on, and this was Oliver telling me to just stop looking at it, because I would find that I would look at it and get really wound up. Even after a couple of minutes, I would get really wound up. So what I've got him to do is summarize it to me. So go, right, summarize the news to me. What is going on that I need to know about? Because I find whether it's the wording or whatever, it really makes me feel quite anxious and quite negative. So yes, that's what I've done. So who you surround yourself with, what you're looking at on social media. And again, this is something we talk about in our courses about how to own social media, but not be owned by it, i.e. take back control, plus get your partner or whoever to read the news to you. That's what I've pretty much come up with.
I really like that last tip as well. So again, on that as well, social media, ironically, you know, on our course where we're helping people effectively like build the foundations of their business, using social media as one of these platforms as well. And then ironically, we're also saying it can be a negative thing. But the point is, use it to advertise your services, your product, your message, your why of why you're doing things. But try not to fall out a trap of procrastinating too much on social media, being drawn into it, especially if it's making you feel very negative. And I'm sure everyone listening to this can relate. I'm sure people have had times where I definitely have, where you find yourself, you are scrolling through social media and you think, why am I wasting my time looking at this? Especially if it's inspiring you and if you're following great people and you're enjoying that time and you're getting something from it, that's fine. But if you're feeling negative, then you don't have to be looking at social media all the time. You know, and we speak a lot on the course that we've done about scheduling your posts, obviously answering those who are engaging with those posts as well. But, you know, not then falling into a trap of losing time in your day where you might be looking too much on social media, feeling too negative because maybe you're reading about fake news or seeing people achieve great things that you're trying to achieve as well. And then you think, well, they're doing it, why aren't I doing it? And it can really, really affect your mindset in a negative way. Another thing you can do with social media, obviously, as well, is, you know, you can end up following so many people. And if people are really, you know, if you find it a negative influence on yourself, you know, just don't follow these people on social media. Follow those people who inspire you. And that kind of goes on what you were saying, Louise, as well, where you choose to communicate and surround yourself with people that empower you. And it's the same with social media in some ways, isn't it? You know, if you want to go on social media because you know you're going to find inspirational articles or you're going to follow people that you can learn stuff from, then that's amazing. But then you might want to then filter out the people that you find gives you a more of a negative feeling than the positive vibe. Finding your tribe is a really good thing as well, isn't it? You know, finding those people around you who really resonate with your message and what you're trying to get across to help people. And that's what social media is, really. Yes, it's a way to advertise your business, but then you're also putting stuff out there to help people and to help others. And you'll find as well, and for those looking to grow their business, especially using social media as one of these tools, you'll find that you will be getting the regular people, your tribe, who are liking it, commenting on it. And then you realize it might only be 5 or 10 people, but then that 5 or 10 people, they're always hanging on for that next bit of information. And what you're saying and what you're putting out there is really helping these individuals, which is great. And they're liking it and they're commenting on it, and that will grow. There's some really good books as well about like Find Your Tribe. I can't remember who wrote it or what it's about, but there's some really good books about how to build that loyal following and those people that want to hear your message. And I think there's a lot of people out there who've got so much worth to offer and so many really good points to say using social media. They just got to go get a bit more confidence about themselves, be positive about it, and just put it out there consistently as well. And that's one of the underlying messages on the course that we've put in together. To finish off on that little note as well, before we move on as well, I think we forget about the old school methods that we can use in our lifestyle sometimes to make our days feel better, to work on our mindset, to put us in a bit of a more positive spin. And again, I can relate to this because I've gone through times where maybe I have been on social media a bit too much, you know, just looking, you know, not even using it as a tool for work, just like procrastinating on social media. Even sometimes before you go to bed, where you may be looking at the news or you're looking at social media, and it can be negative, negative, negative. And then sometimes you think, right, if you try to step away from that, you know, what am I going to do before I go to bed? I don't want to watch TV. Well, so it's like, get yourself a book, you know, get a good book or something like that. Old school methods that sometimes we forget about. Get yourself a good book that's going to empower you, is going to teach you something, or it's a bit of escapism. So you don't have to think, you can just switch off completely. And, you know, a good book before you go to bed, it helps you sleep. Helps your mind calm down. You're not got that blue light of a phone or your TV staring at you. And all these little things, it feels like sometimes you're teaching people to suck eggs. Like, yeah, I know I can read a book before I go to bed. But I know sometimes I forget I can read a book to relax. And I do sometimes find myself reading the news too much or looking at social media too much. And it can lead to a very negative mindset. So if you're listening to this and you are feeling negative quite often, look at what your daily habits are, look at the things you can change, and then implement them. It doesn't always happen straight away. It's very easy to say, oh, but just change your life, change your daily habits. You know, it does take a bit of time to make these changes and to make them consistent for every single day for you, and to feel like that's a natural day. But it will happen. Goal setting is really cool as well. Goal setting is key, I think. So having a positive mindset, we've kind of spoken about this in the last 5 minutes or so, but I think it's having that positive mindset. Journaling can help with this. Reflecting can help with this. Choosing how you spend your day can definitely affect this as well. Getting outdoors. But positive mindset, I think it's so important, especially if you're trying to grow a business. We speak about this a lot on the course that we've developed over the last few months. Now, the course that we keep talking about is a business and marketing course for fitness professionals. So it's showing people, helping people, giving them tidbits, advice, and lessons into how to build the foundations of the business from the ground up, you know? And one thing that we consistently talk about is that positive mindset. Being inspired by those around you, being empowered by those around you, surrounding yourselves with people that want to motivate you rather than draw you back and demotivate. And that's something that we speak about a lot on our course, isn't it? You know, the course itself, it goes through social media, how to use it productively for your business, YouTube, all these sort of things. Now, the reason why we work together on this, you're an osteopath, I'm a training provider, but we've both worked alongside many marketing individuals. We've both taught ourselves a lot when it comes to marketing, digital marketing as well. And that's why we sat down and we thought, right, we feel like we've got a lot that we can put down to help others on stuff that we've been stuck with personally in the past. And that's what the consensus of this course is all about, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think for me, it's like it's being able to kind of look at all the stuff that we really struggled with and give it in a way that can be really helpful for people. And I think, yes, OK, we talk about the marketing element, but I think one of the key things that I was so excited to be part of is that we teach people to kind of find their unique identity, because I think what happens, the trap that people fall into, you know, male or female, is that they roll into the fitness industry and they think that they have to be either completely out there, massively entertaining, so either they have to really force themselves to kind of be this person that they're not, you know, to every single person, or they've got to take photos with these ripped abs and they've got to show these amazing bodies and all of that stuff. And actually, it's so much more than that. And it's about finding your unique brand, your unique identity, but also finding your clientele. And I think we touch on so many different subjects, but one of the real kind of standout things for me is that we talk about the fact that it's not all about having thousands and thousands of followers. And it's not all about having, you know, just having this huge social media presence. That doesn't always convert. Obviously, sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't always convert into a successful business. And what I mean by that is you might have 200 likes on your photo, but have no clients. And the reason why is that if you've got a very unique business, or you've got a business identity that is for a unique clientele, you have to be able to market it in a way that you are getting the clients coming in. So where I do the marketing for our osteo and physio franchise, the marketing and training, a lot of our stuff is tailored into, you know, finding the ideal client or finding potential new franchisees, you know, stuff like that. So each platform has a very specific purpose. And so I think we forget that, and we think we just need to post all the time the most crazy photos and the most revealing photos, or, you know, really shocking stuff. And actually, that's not necessarily building your business or your brand identity or your social media presence. So that's stuff that we've looked at together. And also giving people the confidence to be able to have that unique message. You know, your thing that you might want to do might be just for, you know, pregnant women. You might want to just train pregnant women, which is fine. So you need to be able to come up with the platforms and the ideas tailored around that theme. You know, you're not going to target everybody, you're going to target very, very specific audience. So it's being able to work out, what do you want from the fitness industry? And just another point, Ash, that I wanted to say that I just remembered from earlier was the fact that the reason why it's such a unique gift and it's such a unique tool to be part of this sector and have the qualifications that you do as a personal trainer, Pilates instructor, sports masseuse, osteopath, is the fact that you can go in lots of different avenues. You know, you can branch out. You're not just one-to-one training. You know, there's lots of different stuff that you can do that keeps your work and your profession exciting, but also means that you can grow as an individual.
I think so. And it, hopefully people can take some lessons away from this last year where, and I know by speaking to a lot of our students and for those who are now working in the industry, and even friends and peers who've got their own businesses that have been massively affected by this whole situation, nothing to do with the fitness industry. And what they've done is they've used that time wisely so that when things open up again, their business is going to look different. They're going to have things in place which weren't there before, which is going to make their business and their services and their products better. The online side of things, we've all embraced online, you know, whether that's Zoom now for the last year or so, doing podcasts over Zoom, for example, or using Microsoft Teams to teach your kids at home. You know, we've all had to embrace technology. I've seen so many, and I'm going to talk about personal trainers because that's who I'm most related to, is they've used technology to help them carry on their business. And I've known people who massively struggle mentally and in their mindset about how they keep their fitness business going. Others have just embraced it as well. I think it's really important to try to find that thing that keeps you motivated with your business and keep working with it. On going online as well, you know, these online consultations you can have, these online PT sessions or group training sessions, I don't think they're just a stopgap. I think it's probably something that I know a lot of individuals are going to carry on once things open up again, once things go back to normality. So their business is going to look a lot different. And I think that's maybe a thing that a lot of people can do is take a few lessons from this last year and think, right, actually, I'm going to keep that going because that worked really well. And also, I picked up new clients and I've got a greater number of followers because of what I've been doing on the online side of things now as well. It doesn't have to be that one-to-one session in a gym. That's obviously your main bread and butter, and it's what most people want as a service. But there's other avenues which you can use and do to help and to offer more value to others as well, isn't it? And it's something that we do mention that on the course. We talk about that quite a lot on the course. Now, the course that we put together, yeah, there's lessons on how you build your YouTube channel, how you grow your social media, how you use elements like your YouTube, how to even upload a video to YouTube. We try to cover all the stuff that we've had to learn over the years. I'm no social media guru in any chance, but what I've had to do is learn how to do all of these different things. And I've done that by working with different marketing individuals. Some have taught me loads of stuff, which I've got loads of lessons from. And that's what we just try to do and implement into these courses. Looking back and editing the course and producing it as well with your assistance, Louise, as well, I think it's a very motivational course. You know, I've looked at some of the videos that we've done together, some of the ones you've done on your own as well. And it's made me think, oh, I need to carry on doing that, like putting a social media planner together, using Hootsuite to schedule your posts so you're not on social media trying to put stuff out at the same time as trying to cook dinner. You know, using all these little elements, which sometimes you forget to use or maybe you don't know about, they're such useful tools. And that's kind of what we try to do with this course, isn't it? To try to make people realize that building your business, promoting your business and being consistent with it, it should be a pleasure, not a chore.
Totally agree. It should be something that you want to do, something that you're inspired to do, and something that doesn't take the whole day to do.
I think so. So that's what we've done. So, you know, we've worked quite hard over the last few months. We've put a series of videos together. We filmed in different ways, so it's a little bit more engaging. It's not just always us talking to camera. We've made it, we've put tuition videos together, like step-by-step processes. So we're not doing this podcast to try to sell a course. It's mainly about what people can do right now to try to empower themselves and inspire themselves and motivate themselves to achieve what they want to do, whether that's with their business or with their health and their training goals. The marketing course also does that as well. And it's just something that we've worked on together the last few months. If anything, it was a case of me and you sitting down thinking, right, what can we do? Gyms are closed for me. I don't know. I can put some courses together. Louise, should we do a marketing course? Yes, let's do a marketing course. So again, we're using a situation, which is a negative situation. We're getting a real positive thing to come out of it. So we'll this course that we're going to release is going to come out and it's going to be available from February onwards. We're both really excited about it. I can't wait because I know it's going to give people stuff that I wish I had when I was just starting off in the business as a personal trainer. And it's stuff I've learned over the last 10, 15, 20 years, if I'm honest. Louise, it's been a real pleasure today talking to you again and having you back on a podcast. every time we talk, you're very motivational. And it goes back to a few of these things that I say, like you said, about like deal with people that inspire and empower you. And you do this. And that's what we're hoping. That's why I wanted to get you onto this podcast. And hopefully if there's anyone feeling quite low at the minute, just, you know, we want to try and change that negative mindset to a positive mindset. And that's why I wanted you on, because you definitely do that. anything you want to add before we close out today in this podcast?
No, well, thank you so much for having me. Well, honour to be asked to come back again. I swear, every time we jump on a Zoom, we always end up just laughing anyway. So, but that goes back to what I was saying about, you know, it's who you surround yourself with, and it should be people that, you know, inspire you. I feel like that's really important. So I think one of the things that I would just re-implement is the fact that, you know, if you are feeling quite low and you're listening to this, look at who you follow, look at who you're talking to. Is there anybody that you can either maybe mute for a little bit, or is there new people that you can connect with? Because a lot of the people that I've connected with have been through social media, like yourself, that was through social media. You know, I met one of my closest and dearest friends, who is my accountability partner, Annie, through social media. So there's definitely, it's definitely a powerful platform. It's definitely a powerful tool to have, as long as you use it the right way and it makes you feel good and you feel like you're connecting with your tribe and not feeling really rubbish about yourself. And I think that's just, for me, really key, which is obviously what we try and get across with regards to business in the course. So yeah, really excited to hear what people think of it. Obviously, we loved making it, but we want that people watch it and have the ability to go back and pick out stuff that's really relevant for them. Obviously, we want it that it's really interactive. So any questions, anytime, you know, let us know. And we're hoping that we've covered absolutely everything, because we spent hours and hours on the content and kind of brainstorming what we feel like would be most relevant, in particularly in the health and wellness sector. So it's so nice for it to come to life.
It is. And it's almost live now, which is great. So finishing touches, and it will be done. So, you know, again, Louise, it's been a pleasure. I hope you've got some stuff to go away from. I try to make all of these podcast episodes that we do to give people some actions. Actions, just to summarize, start a daily journal. Think about your exercise, your nutrition every single day, especially if you feel like it's not on point. I've had to do that recently, and I'm trying to turn the tide on that. Do some cold water therapy. I've started cold water therapy, and I really enjoy it. A few things. Start actioning things straight away. Goal setting, a mind map. We'll do a podcast about a mind map soon, Louise, definitely. And we'll let everyone know when our course is ready, but it'll be available from February. Louise, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. You can find out more about our courses, further podcasts, and you can even find out more about our business and marketing course for the fitness professional. Do this by going to our website at www.performancetrainingacademy.com. We'll be back soon with another episode.